بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله، نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونستهديه، ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهدي الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله. سيد المرسلين وخاتم النبيين ورحمة للعالمين، وصلى الله على آله الطاهرين الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. أوصيكم عباد الله ونفسي بتقوى الله. We talked about the issue of racism last Friday in context with the violence which took place against the Afro-Americans in Buffalo. Today I would like to talk about a broader concept, because we see again, you know, the violence because of the guns. And again, it is, you know, coming up. You have this elementary school in Texas where a young man goes and kills these young students. You look at the pictures and you start thinking, you know, what's going on. And this was the point I had, that when we talk about success of a society, it's not the material aspects. It is all everything to do with how we treat one another. One of the issues related with this gun violence that we see in the United States of America is tied with this idea of freedom to bear arms. This is the Second Amendment in the Constitution of the United States of America, which basically protects the right to keep and bear arms. And this is something which was ratified in December 1791. And this is where even the gun lobby basically uses that this is our constitutional right to do this. It is the issue of this freedom that I would like to talk about, because freedom of whatever you want to do can never ever be absolute, more so when it's going to have an impact and affect the lives of others. Even the Second Amendment and the rationale behind it limits it to the issue of, you know, the right to bear arms, to defend yourself and your property, not to go and inflict, you know, harm on others, especially if it is based on hatred towards a race and a people of faith. Sometimes this idea of, you know, freedom reaches to very ridiculous levels. We saw in winter here in Canada itself the so-called freedom convoy of the truckers in Ottawa, protesting the temporary restrictions put on gatherings and the issue of, you know, putting on the mask and the requirement for vaccination for indoor gatherings. All that this was done temporarily in order to prevent the spread of the deadly virus. Looking at the pictures, you know, of these trucks in Ottawa, one of them had a banner on it which says, you know, "God keep our land glorious and free," coming from our national anthem. This dua, these prayers, and I pray that the word God stays there. We don't know the society. You know, they will say, oh, there are many, many Canadians who don't believe in God, so you should remove that. We don't have this problem with this dua. You know, "God, keep our land glorious and free." But free doesn't mean to be free absolutely. You cannot be free to spread the virus in that particular case. Even if you look at this debate going on in the United States of America and the courts about the issue of abortion, This whole notion of freedom on a personal level comes up. It becomes the front and center of the debate. The famous slogan used by the feminist movement is that my body, my business. Nobody has a right to say what I can do, what I cannot do. They're talking about abortion. And this is where we have to realize that, you know, from the Islamic perspective, and I'm not even talking about the issue of abortion, that's a subject by itself, maybe it's for some other time. But this slogan doesn't work with us. My body is Allah's business. It's not my business. This is an amanat. A trust has been given to me, and I am in this dunya for test and trial, and one of the issues is to see how I conduct myself, even as far as what my body is concerned. And so to say that my body, my business, doesn't go with the Islamic teachings. Unfortunately, there are some Muslims, even among the intellectuals and scholars, who have been influenced by this, and very quickly they say, well, look at the Quran. The famous passage in the Quran, which is known as Ayat al-Kursi, Surah Baqarah, ayat number 256, they recite that quickly. They say, hey, Quran says, La ikraha fi al-deen. There is no compulsion or force in religion. And this, among Muslims, becomes, you know, an ayat used very frequently when they talk about this issue of hijab or sexual orientation. That, oh, nobody can say anything to anyone. You know, this is la ikraha fi al-deen. There is no force. What these Muslims conveniently ignore is the context of this ayat in Ayatul Kursi. La ikraha fi al-deen, there is no compulsion in religion, doesn't talk about the practical issues. It is talking about the issue of coming into the fold of Islam. Islam very clearly says you cannot force others to become Muslims. If you force others to become Muslims, you are not increasing the number of Muslims, you are actually increasing the numbers of hypocrites and munafiqeen. You force them to come into Islam, but in their heart, you know, kufr is still there. And the context is very clear. Why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, La ikraha fi al-deen. There is no compulsion in accepting Islam. قَدْ تَبَيَّنَ الرُّشْدُ مِنَ الْغَيِّ. Look at the sentence after that. Because rushd and ghay, opposites, the right path and the wrong path. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قَدْ تَبَيَّنَ. The two parts are distinct. I have given the guidance, I have sent the prophets, I have sent the revealed scriptures, read there, and you will know what is right and what is wrong. And so the conversion to Islam, accepting Islam, cannot be done on ikrah and compulsion. But it doesn't mean once you become a Muslim, you have a choice. Today, I don't feel like it, so I'm not going to do namaz. You have to do that. It is wajib. You know, there is no freedom there. Once you become a Muslim, remember even the word Muslim itself. Everybody knows. It means to submit. To submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by, you know, following his teachings. This ayat, la ikraha fi al-deen, to understand it in a proper context, you have to look at other ayat. This ayat is talking about coming into Islam. Once you come into Islam, what happens? You go to Surah Al-Ahzab, Surah number 33, ayat 36. There Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا كَانَ لِمُؤْمِنٍ وَلَا مُؤْمِنَا إِذَا قَضَى اللَّهَ وَرَسُولُهُ أَمْرًا أَنْ يَكُونَ لَهُمُ الْخَيَّرَ مِنْ أَمْرِهِمْ. Very clear. That a believer man and a believer woman, it does not behove of them that they should have any khayra, ikhtiyar, choice, in a matter in which Allah and His Rasul have already decided. So if something is already decided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or by the Rasul in his sunnah, as explained by the Imams of Ahlul Bayt, then the mu'min or a mu'mina, interestingly here Allah, you know, out of the way he goes sometimes, includes both genders here, the mu'min and a mu'mina both, they do not have any khiyara, they don't have any choice. وَمَنْ يَعْصِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَقَدْ ظَلَّ ظَلَالًا مُبِينًا. And whoever disobeyed Allah and his messenger, they have indeed gone away from the right path. And so remember, when we talk about Islam, you know, yes, there is freedom, but there are limitations to that. Islam can be summarized by this struggle to surrender. We have to every day struggle and do this jihad against our own desires. Every day, every moment, every environment, every situation that we find ourselves. And that is actually the summary of what it means to be a Muslim in this dunya. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the wisdom to understand what is Islam and what does it mean to be truly a Muslim, and keep us away from the desires which sometimes overcome our wisdom and our aql, because that is the biggest challenge that we have. Inna ahsan al-hadith kitabullah al-aziz, bismillah ar-rahman ar-rahim, wal asr inna al-insana lafi khusr illa alladhina amanu wa amil as-salihat wa tawasaw bil-haqq wa tawasaw bil-sabr. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الذي لا إله إلا هو الحليم الكريم غافر الذنب وقابل التوب وهو الغفور الرحيم ونشهد أن لا إله إلا هو العتوف للعباد بجوده والعواد على المذنبين بحلمه ونشهد أن محمدا نبيه وحبيبه سيد المرسلين والشفيع المذنبين ورحمة للعالمين صلى الله عليه وآله الداعين إلى سبيل الله بالحكمة والموعظة الحسنة قادة الأمم وأولياء النعمة ومعدن الرحمة أوصيكم عباد الله بالتوبة ما سلف من ذنوبكم. Yesterday was the anniversary of the wafat of our sixth Imam, Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq عليه الصلاة والسلام. And I thought maybe it will be appropriate and useful for myself and you to go through a hadith, a very beautiful hadith of the Imam, where he talks about his followers and the expectation that the Imam has from us. And this is actually a message not only for his companions, it's something, this is narration from Abu Usama Zayd Shaham, who actually says that I was in the presence of the Imam when Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salatu wa salam he told me as a message, he says, اقرأ على من ترى أنه يطيعني منهم. When you see the people whom you identify as those who follow me and obey me, convey my salams to them. وَيَأْخُذُ قَوْلِي, who take my words and they follow me, you know, اقْرَى عَلَى, on them, السلام, convey my salams to them. So this ayat does, this hadith doesn't stop those days. It would even apply to all those even now, you know, who believe in the Imam and take his words and follow him. وَعُصِيكُمْ, and then he says, I advise you. And there is a list of things. Number one, بِتَقْوَى اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. To build and exercise that taqwa, that consciousness of Allah's presence in our life. This feeling of the fear to displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I emphasize the point because sometimes the literal meaning of the word, bitaqwallah is to fear Allah. And I would always like to, clear this issue. It's not fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is fearing displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is by doing things that he doesn't like. And so the very first thing is the issue of taqwa. Number two, wal-wara' fi dinikum. Wara' is a word used, the literal translation would be to be cautious or extra cautious in the matters of your religion. And this actually applies more to the areas, what I call the gray area of our situations. If things are clear for us, we know this is wajib, this is haram, it's clear. Wara', this extra caution, comes handy when you are in a situation where things are not that clear. It's a gray area. We are not sure. Is it haram? Is it jaiz or not? There you take precaution. You go by the path where you, on the day of judgment, you can say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I exercise precaution. If you're not sure about it, don't do it. Number three, وَالِاجْتِهَادُ لِلَّهِ, and to struggle constantly for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whether it is to do with the fulfillment of our prayers, or parting from what Allah has given to us, the dues of others in our wealth, these are all things where you need that extra, effort. And this is where ijtihad comes in the literal sense, not the ijtihad of the mujtahideen. Number four, wasidq al-hadith. Wasidq al-hadith, truthfulness in your speech. Whenever you speak, be truthful. Number five, ada al-amana, to convey the trust which has been given to you. Do not betray it. Fulfill, if an amanat is with you, make sure you convey it to those who are the rightful owners of it. Number six, tul al-sujood, to prolong the sajda. Somebody would say, Maulana, you make it very short, but that's for namaz jamaat. The imam of a jamaat is expected to make it as quick and short as possible because people behind are not always at the full level of health. You have elderly people, those who are not feeling well. So the ahkam of salatul jama'ah are different. And this refers to your own personal, especially nafila prayers. If you can prolong it, instead of just saying three times, subhanallah, subhanallah, make it double. Six times, nine times, 12 times. And you can just multiply it as much as you want. Even in the ruku, it's the same thing. One of the things which can help us, especially during the early stages of barzakh, after we have been placed in the grave, is the prolonging of the ruku. It's not in this hadith, but that's one item there. And that's, again, you can do the same thing, increasing the number of zikr that you have in ruku. So the imam talked about personal issues of taqwa, wara, precaution, working hard, putting extra effort for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then the pillars of akhlaq, truthfulness and trustworthiness. And then again, a personal issue was about prolonging the sajda. Now he talks about our interaction with people. Number seven, وحسن الجوار, and to be good neighbors. Islam actually talks about it. There is an ayat of Quran, there are hadith of the imams. It says, it doesn't matter whether your neighbor is a Muslim or a non-Muslim, related to you or not related to you. If you have a neighbor who is a Muslim and related to you, his haq and right becomes more. But they, you know, Husn al-Jawar, to be a good companion, is there for everyone. And this is where the Prophet says, وَحُسْنُ الْجَوَارِ فَبِحَاذَا جَاءَ مُحَمَّدْ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمْ. He says these are the characteristics. This is the attitude and the behavior with which Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has come. And again, now the Imam goes to a point we already mentioned earlier. Ada il amana, you know, to fulfill the trust. Then he again says, أَدُّ الْأَمَانَ إِلَى مَنْ اِعْتَمَلَكُمْ عَلَيْهَا بِرًّا أَوْ فَاجِرٌ. You know, he says it doesn't matter whether it is بَرًّا أَوْ فَاجِرٌ, whether the person who brought the item that belongs to him and he gave to you as an entrust to keep it there, to safeguard it, whether that person was a good person or a sinner. You can't say, oh, well, you know, I don't see him in namaz. I don't see him in the 10 days of Ashura. You know, so his mal doesn't become halal for you because of that. There is a notion these days, you know, things are being clarified now. There was a time when you say, oh, mal kafir halal. You know, it's not like that. Especially when it comes to amanat. When a trust is given to you, you have to be careful there. Why? Because the Imam says, فَإِنَّ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمْ كَانَ يَأْمُرُ بِعَدَاءِ الْقَيْتِ وَالْمِخْيَةِ. Because the Prophet used to command the people to give the trust back to the owner, even if it is as small as a needle and a thread. Such a simple thing. You know, a needle and a thread, he says, even in that small item, you had to fulfill your amanat there. And then the Imam goes on, وَسِلُوا عَشَائِرُكُمْ. You know, maintain this relationship with those who are related to you. وَشْحَدُوا جَنَائِزُهُمْ. When they pass away, you know, be part of their funeral. عُودُوا مَرْضَاهُمْ. And go and visit when they are not feeling well. وَعَدُّوا حُقُوقَهُمْ, and fulfill their rights. And this is the main message for myself and you, where he says, إِنَّ الرَّجُلَ مِنْكُمْ إِذَا وَرَعَ فِي دِينِهِ وَصَدَقَ الْحَدِيثِ وَعَدَّ الْأَمَانَةِ وَحَسُنَ خُلْقَهُ مَعَ النَّاسِ قِيلَ هَذَا جَعَفَرِيٌّ. He says, when a person from among you uses this precocious attitude in his matter of religion, he is truthful, trustworthy, he has good akhlaq with people, and when people look at his good akhlaq and they say, هَذَا جَعْفَرِيٌّ, that he is Ja'fari, Imam says, فَيَسُرُّنِ ذَلِكَ, I become very happy with that. Because you and your akhlaq is being related to me. وَيَدْخُلُ عَلَيَّ مِنْهُ السُّرُورِ وَقِيلَ هَذَا عَدَبُ جَعْفَرُ. I get this happiness because of that, and people will say, these are the teachings of Ja'far. But on the flip side, وَإِذَا كَانَ عَلَى غَيْرِ ذَلِكَ, but if a person who is known to be from the Shias doesn't have these qualities that I'm talking about, his akhlaq is opposite, دَخَلَ عَلَيَّ بَلَاؤُهُ وَعَارُهُ, then every negativity about him and the disgrace that he has is also extended to me. And people will say, you know, قِيلَ هَذَا عَدَبُ جَعْفَر, this is the teachings of Ja'far. And so we have to realize we are not just individuals. Whatever we do has a reflection on our faith, on our imams. We take pride in calling ourselves Shia of Ali. We take pride in calling ourselves Ja'fari, and we have a right to do that, but then live up to that name and don't be a source of disgrace for our imams. Salawat upon the Quran. In the last part, he says to Zayd al-Shaham, He says, then my father, referring to the fifth Imam, he said he used to say that if there was in any tribe a Shia of Ali, he would be the best among them as far as akhlaq and character is concerned. How he was the best? أَدَّاهُمْ لِلْعَمَانَ وَأَقْضَاهُمْ لِلْحُقُوقِ. He would be the most trustworthy. He would be the one who fulfills the rights of the people. وَأَصْدَقَهُمْ لِلْحَدِيثِ. And he would be the person who is the most truthful. People will, you know, leave things, precious things that they have for safeguarding with him. تُسْعَلُ الْعَشِيرَ عَنْهُ. And when people of the tribe, if they are asked, who is this person? They will say, who can be like him? He is the one, most trustworthy one, and the most truthful one. And so remember, these two things come again and again and again in this entire, you know, hadith of the Imam, of Al-Amin and Al-Sadiq. Interestingly, these were the titles given to the Prophet even before Islam. And our sixth Imam is also known as Imam Ja'far As-Sadiq. Salawat. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidu al-Mursaleen wa Shafi al-Mudhribin Nabiyyina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam wa ala Imam al-Muttaqeen wa Amir al-Mu'minin Ali ibn Abi Talib salawatullah alayhi وعلى سيدة نساء العالمين سيدتنا فاطمة بنت رسول الله صلوات الله عليها وعلى سيد شباب أهل الجنة الحسن المجتبى والحسين الشهيد بكربلاء عليهم الصلاة والسلام اللهم صل على أئمة المسلمين علي بن الحسين ومحمد بن علي وجعفر بن محمد وموسى بن جعفر وعلي بن موسى ومحمد بن علي وعلي بن محمد والحسن بن علي عليهم الصلاة والسلام اللهم صل على مولانا الحجة بن الحسن صاحب العصر والزمان ما أحيى أثار البدء والطغيان وهادم أبنية الشرك والنفاق حاسد فرو البغي والشقاق صلوات الله وسلامه عليه وعلى آبائه الكرام ما اتصلت الليالي والأيام اللهم عجل فرج وسهل مخرج واكحل ناظرنا بنظرة منا إليه واجعلنا من المستشهدين بين يديه اللهم اجعلنا ممن يذكر فتنفعه الذكرى إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون